So, what the Lord's been showing me. How many remember us in the mandate? There was a soundness of mind, a revival of soundness of mind, sanity. You know, getting rid of everything that's crazy in religion. And one of it was media. And this several years ago when this statement of proclamation was made to what he's called us to. And he said, miracles that are so incredible that even the Einsteins of the world would have to give up and say, there's something else here. When he talked about those gold fillings, he didn't do the whole tooth per se. What he does in that case, they just come in. Teeth just come in. But they had rotten holes all over. They were cavity and rotted out and stuff. They're the ones that he kept pouring this gold out in their teeth. And with the revivals of sensationalism, gold dusting on everything, rubies falling out of the sky, all those kind of things. And I put that on hold for years. I prayed for that years ago for people's teeth to be restored. And he'd use gold and enamel. But when all of that sensationalism came, I put that prayer on hold to prove it out. I wasn't going to get into something I shouldn't. And he finally ministered to me on kind of a seeking time this last month or so. And he said that in the sensational moves, a lot of things that didn't make sense were taken past. Like all of a sudden the pastor's wife took off running around the church barking like a dog, and they howled and crawled like snakes across the floor, and all that they incorporated in, and the gold dusting was falling and all that going on at once, and they're saying it was God. Generally, that sensationalism would point towards a person that the devil is eventually going to lead off into a bunch of scandalism. Jim Jones, he had lightning that would flash inside of the services. Boy, did the people follow him to Guyana for a communion of strychnine. The whole group took it. Well, they just love these sensationalism signs, because no matter what kind of air you have, what kind of second life you're living. And the last one, he was being very friendly with the secretary. Everybody was, oh, revival, revival. Then all the signs pointed towards him, and then you find out the life he's living and the doctrine he's preaching. The last thing the devil's going to do with us is get by. He's not getting by. And two, he's not going to draw attention and amplify to bring people to a truth that changes them? Why did Satan come? What was the main reason? He cometh not but for... So if he don't come for this, he usually don't come. He comes not but to steal the word. That's what he's after, because that and the knowledge that's in it by the power of the Holy Spirit is what changes everything. So he comes to steal the truth. Can you imagine in the first century, in the first 50 years, in the first 30 that the apostles launched out? We didn't have no 66 copy of a cell phone that you can hit Bible and the Bible comes up and then you can read it. Most of them couldn't even read and be blessed. Have a scribe get him a copy from the synagogue, and at least could have some Old Testament to read. These apostles that pioneered all this was taught by Jesus, and after they were taught by the Holy Spirit, because he said he would come and guide you into all truth. He still won't push you. He still won't drag you. He'll only guide you. And to be guided, you have to be willing to go. So you think a bunch of sensationalism is going to bring a crowd of people in so we can teach them how to turn themselves over to the Holy Spirit who'll guide them into all truth? I don't think so. So what's he after? The truth. He wants to steal the word. If he can steal that, he can make any kind of religion out of you. Teach anything he wants and bring across anything he wants. But not to victory. Jesus said when he's come, he'll guide you into all truth. Wouldn't it stand to reason that if he came to do that? Preachers used to yell at me, you need to walk in power. I felt like jerking them out from behind the pulpit, shaking them real hard. Don't you think I know that? Would somebody please tell me how? I worked on the farm. I could do that. How? Did any of them ever tell you? Not really. Well, I said, how about praying in tongues? Isn't that supposed to edify you? Oh, yes, but you can only do that when he moves upon you. Cost me time. Come on. God doesn't do things halfway. I got 66 books sitting in my life. Sitting in my lap. They didn't have it. And I'm just going to let it sit there. Not in your best day. What an opportunity. In the good 20, 30 years I have left, I'm going to do some tearing hell up. You think about this. Think. God designed the path to the miracle that the cross provided. Well, surely he's borne our sicknesses, carried our pains, chastisement, our lack of peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. He couldn't even open his mouth to the child Pilate. When in the trial, he opened, said not a word. Why? Because he's guilty. He's being judged in your place. He couldn't defend himself. And now, because he took your penalty, when the devil comes, you can open up your mouth and give the wisdom he couldn't. And why? Because he died in your place. See? What all did the cross provide? What all did it provide? He said he wouldn't leave me comfortless. So what did it provide? I'll tell you what. It provided a path to the cross. And everything it provided that's as finished, final, sovereign as the cross that's offering it. No matter what I have, what's jumped on me, or what's happened to me, there's a way through the power of the Holy Spirit who guides you into all truth that I can put one foot in front of the other until I get to my answer that he's provided. Well, who is it that's going to guide me into all truth? The Holy Spirit. Going to guide me. And I can't keep. I just can't help repeating myself. Maybe I repeated myself two times this year. Hush. Shh. I can't help it sometime a little bit. Can we imagine a God so merciful? For when they didn't have a Bible in their lap until when we do. Yeah. Look at this. Yeah. You know what a miracle this is? to when we didn't have a Bible in our lap. So what did God do? He says, well, in order to win this, It looks like the person that God has going to have to go to him. Holy Ghost, that'll be you. You'll take up your abode with him. You'll baptize him. And then you'll take the mind of Christ, which has his plan, revelation knowledge, the understanding of the mysteries. You'll take and baptize them, and you'll live. You'll live. You'll be submerged in their spirit. So when you create this prayer, it'll be you. I'm just creating it inside of your spirit, but it will be really you and your authority that's praying this prayer. Somebody says, does the devil understand it when I'm praying in tongues? That'd be stupid. He does and you don't. No, you understand it when it's prayed up, and then the mystery is revealed to your understanding. And everything you need, every part of the plan, he borrows your authority. One member of the Godhead borrows your authority to pass this over to you. Then you pray that prayer out as much as you want. So one member of the Godhead supplies the prayer and another member answers. God, it's hard to lose. One provides the praying. He that searches art, he knows what God's mind is, and that enables him to make intercession for that saint according to the will of God. Then we can know all things work together for good, them love God and calling to his purpose. He said, all things will get together. Doesn't matter what hell sins against you. In his plan, he'll intercept it, beat it to pieces, and his plan will go on in your life. So the devil had to get tongues out of the church right away, didn't he? Me and tongues are not for today. Oh, shut up. It's like saying prayer is not available today. Oh, get out of here. See. Well, how come that when I started praying in tongues, it just went along real good for a while, then all hell turned loose? We had people fall under the onslaught of hell. And they got so angry that they went out and put flyers on our cars. What a phony doctrine this is. What? Praying in tongues? What I seen him transcend every barrier and do what he did in Brazil this time. I mean, the people were weeping. That presence that I've been believing, that when I put a camera and just stick it there, and I'd say, now, God, come over for you people that are in pain, please, please. What do you think? He just picks Brazil to go into the room and do miracles? No. We prayed a mass prayer over the teeth. We don't know how many was filled. That was our last meeting. We prayed a mass prayer over the eyes. We don't know how many was healed. Person after person just stood up that couldn't see fine print, couldn't see this, couldn't see that. And after we cross-examined four, five, or six of them, we had to stop and say, all of you jump up and just give the Lord the glory because it's him. But what I love the most about these services, and that's why I was so glad Alan was there, and it's the way that the love of God saturated them. I mean, it was saturating them. It was doing something that the threats of hell's fire and brimstone don't do. You know what it was doing? It was ministering to the guy that stays home and sends his remodeled front person to church. Leans over in the car when she's pulling away. Would you just shut up about that? Oh, Brother Simpson. Hi. Oh, yeah, am I ready for church? I just love what you've... You know who that anointing was beginning to reach there? I could tell. The good guy left it home. The little front guy. They get healed physically of a few things sometimes, but the guy at the home that puts on an air to come to church, the real problems is what this anointing was beginning to heal. I've seen some people I've known from the past, like the toughest, and I could tell they were falling to grace. I could tell they were changing. I got excited because I know what I'd been believing for revival, that I was going to see these things first, for the revival of media and things. I got so excited. And one more thing he told me. I used to be concerned that if I went on with somebody and they were all twisted up and wrong in their doctrine, that they might identify me with them. He told me, don't be afraid of that. I said, why? He says, because you're preaching a message to them that can bring them out of that. If they begin to pray, they got to be afraid of you, not you them. So I'm not scared of anything. Now here I am wanting to teach us marked Bible here. Here it is. Just marker in it. Let me see. What would you read if you would read some of the verses that was where the marker was all day, yesterday? Make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteous. He that's faithful in the east is faithful in the... You guys don't have to preach that. You don't get paid for it. I do. Here they are, sitting together, smirking. I think I just got one little verse in there I can conclude. And, I'll just establish one thing that who's important in this equation. And I'm just doing this to finish their message. And then it could take all of 10 minutes.
I wasn't in the early service.
They make CDs and stuff. So won't you back up with me? Oh, to the 15th chapter. And 15, and let's just talk about when the sheep got lost and the money got lost. And Luke 7th verse, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over the 99 just persons who needed no repentance. And if that's not enough, look at the 8th verse. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, she loses one piece and lights a candle and sweeps the house diligently until she finds it. And when she's found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, I have found the piece which was lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels that got over one sinner that repenteth. Well, he goes a little further. Prodigal son. You know, the young one says, give the my inheritances to me. And the older one got it too. And so then he goes in riotous living and goes into another country and finally was ending up feeding pigs, which isn't really good for a Jewish person with law. And so kicking in with about the 23rd verse, when his younger brother came home after he took and squandered the inheritance on riotous living and everything. And he said, his father said, look, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's eat it and be merry. Let's celebrate it. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He's lost and he's found. And they begin to be merry. And his elder son was in the field and came and drew nigh to the house and heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and said, What all this mean? And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he's received him safe and sound. And he's angry, would not go. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, oh, all these years I've served you, and I neither transgressed, at any time that commandments it. And thou's never gavest me a kid and made merry with my friends. But as soon as this son who came and devoured his living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, son, you're forever with me. And all that I have is yours. It was meet, it was right that we should be merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and he's alive again. And he's lost and he's found. Well, here's what I didn't understand in this for a while. It's 31. When he said unto him, son, thou art with me, and all that I have is thine. See, this is a typical case. But look what heaven is rejoicing over. See, he's rejoicing more over the lost that's being saved than us that are already secure. Why? We're already in the family. And we already have it made. We're not lost. Eternity's okay for us. But there's a lot more rejoicing in heaven over a sinner that gets born again than over us. We're already in. So I just love that when the prodigal son come back and the older one, I've been faithful, I've never transgressed. I've always done everything you told me. And you never killed me a fatted calf. You know what his answer was, son? Your brother was lost. Now he's been found. And don't you understand, I'm your father, older brother. You're my son. All that I have ever had was yours. The whole time. But you didn't know me well enough to know that. See, all the Father has is mine. I hope I know him well enough to know that he has thoroughly met my need on every corner. I hope I don't have to get jealous at somebody else that just got saved and all this glory is laid out on them. Come on. All he has been mine the whole time, because I'm his and he's my father. And I thank God I'm coming to know him enough to know that he's already my supply. And I can't help but jump in there with him and rejoice severely over every person who gets healed and something he supplied for them. And especially the 15 or so that was born again in those meetings in Brazil. I wished it would have been 500 born again and 12 healed. But you might as well take all of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. So knowing this is all about the lost, you know, I'm already in the family. And if I don't go after them and you don't go after them, what else does he have? Why did he say, you pray the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers? He's the one that died for them. Why would he say that? Really, you and I are pretty much all that he has. I always wondered why he left us here. Seems to me we should have been snatched up when we were born again. But he left us here. And not only that, in a body that's scheduled to fall off of me. But now that I see the picture, God, what a privilege. He's given me a chance. Do something for him. He's given you a chance to do something for him. And I don't mean become a fanatic somehow that annoys people all the time. I'm talking about praying, receiving his wisdom, finding out what he wants, how he's going to use you and your calling, and for us to provide him with a great, great harvest in these end days, because he has made it all available and he's going to come back pretty soon. Hallelujah. Well, the God of Mammon, I just love the way Gary covered that, and it was just really started dividing that as the verse of not being faithful in one, and he can forget it in the other, or little or much. But there's just one verse that I wanted to pick on just a little bit. Oh, when he said in the 9th verse of the 16th chapter, now this is where Gary was covering this so good, all true. I say to you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. When you fail, life is over here, it's done. Every person you affected concerning the use of unrighteous mammon, they're going to receive you really, really thankful and glad into an everlasting habitation. It'll never be forgot. In the 8th verse, he said, look, these children of the world and their generation, they're wiser than the children of light. Knowing the children of light, we should know the total outcome and what we're really doing here. He goes on to say in the 11th verse, if therefore have you not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who commit to you just the true riches, and like we've all discovered, the true riches, you know, I'd like to get Oklahoma City saved. Do you mind? No. Okay, that'll cost maybe $1.5 billion. Since you've been so faithful and everything, I'm going to give that to you to go harvest those precious souls because I trust you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And 12. If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give to you that which is your own? That one got me a little. If he can't give to you that which is another man's, then how can he give you that which is your own? Oh, people, I'm going over to Jordan, and I'm going to have a great big revival there. You know? So if all of you'd like to give, please. Please, I appreciate you helping me. So I'm looking at my 8,000, 9, 10, 12. Okay, I'm going next year or so. Yeah, just enough to get me that car. I want it, but I will go next year. Got that? Of course. If he gave you that which was another man's, who? The lost. That was who it was for. taking the lost from not saved to saved every penny. See, if he can't trust you with money, he gives to you for other things. Then how can he give to you that which is your all? In other words, God, I need, you know, for, I got to make stuff pay, you know. I don't want to get thrown out of my house or nothing, you know. If you've not been faithful to what he give you that belonged to somebody else, you're tying his hands to give what's yours. It's kind of like strife and ought. Hurts people. No matter what they do to you, listen to me. It's not worth the price to hold anything against anybody. No matter how hellish they are, they're not the final answer to your problem. So if he gives me money to win you, and I don't, he can't even give me what's mine anymore. Do you get this quiet over money? That verse just opened up just on this last trip. When I first tried this out, there was a person who was suing me. I don't know, it was $150,000, $160,000. I was learning about forgiveness, but this guy just waited for you to step over the line so he could get you. So I got him a lawyer. He built a case against me. But you know what happened to the lawyer's computer? I never did find out why or how it happened, but it deleted itself. I mean, it deleted whatever happened. Somebody snuck in and did it, but when he opened it up, our whole thing was deleted. He had no information. See, what did you do? Well, I went in to talk to him. I said, sir, I know this man. You know what he's going to do? He's going to get a lawyer and sue you now. But I said, it's okay. You want me to? I'll rebuild the case. Get you out of this trouble. I don't really know what happened because I didn't get to talk to him after that. Too much, he said. But all I know, he says no. And then somehow, it got settled. So there wasn't any at all, no lawsuit or nothing. But I know God had to jump in there somehow because I wasn't going to destroy him over something God could handle. You don't have to be afraid. See, that guy may be hell-bound, mean, cussy, in prison, even murder. That was all done under another nature. When he said, if you be in Christ, you're a new creation, do you believe that he didn't mean that? That's not you anymore. He loves the sinner. He doesn't love sin. But he didn't die for you when you were righteous. If he couldn't have redeemed us, we would have been in eternity with them. This is my family. He's my father. I'm going to rejoice with heaven every time a sinner comes in. Hallelujah. I'm here. I get to fight against the obstacles. They give me power over the devil to do that. And a checking account with no limit. Why?
Because he wants them...
Oh, because he wants them saved more than I do.
Why might that be?
Because it's his family that he lost. It's my brothers and sisters that he lost. So, whew. Boy, when I have money, it's given to me for the lost. Anybody lost? But I'm holding no odd against anybody. None of it is worth it. It's not worth it. He said he had me, which I was obeying him, to alert you to these things, because in the future, these principles will play a stronger place than probably a few times in history. You'll be hearing more about it because it's the honing of the walk. When people cry out, well, the faith message doesn't work. It's the honing by the rock that gets rid of everything that held anything back. And those are the major things. Makes me feel like dragging a communion table out here now. So why don't you just jump up for a minute? Let me give you a minute. Hallelujah, Jesus. Wanted to say some things. See, because this mindset isn't in people, they mistranslate so many verses. Gary quoted one, Luke 6:38. Given it should be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Only in church was that ever used to guarantee you a big offering. And then what do we find out? It's the building your house on the rock. No matter what hell does, blasts it, doesn't matter. It's built on the foundation of doing his sayings, and you're not going down. You're not going down. In fact, you'll be a tower of strength for those around you who are going down. But you're not going down. And to guarantee your house would never, never fall. Doing his sayings, he had to tell you what they were. They can't be sayings to be ignored. How do you think you untie his hands? But Gary explained it well this morning. That everything that it cost you, no matter what that sinner did to you, he stole your money, mean to you. No matter what he did. Well, you just stole one of my checks and wrote it out for $1,000. He says, you can't prove that. I said, I don't need to. I forgive you. I don't need to. But whatever it costs you to hold the blood up, between you and whatever they do to you, whatever it costs you to hold that blood up, he said he takes the amount they took from you, heaps it down, runs it over, and then shakes it back down again and heaps it up and shakes it back down again and heats it up, heaps it up. Why? Because you wouldn't remove the blood of Christ from that sinner, no matter what he was doing. See? Everybody's saying, well, what's going to happen to me? I'll be drunk every time. Amen. That's not what he said. He's going to heap it down, press it together, run it over, and give it back to you. Well, I can't hardly believe that. That's because it takes the kind of faith that says, okay, you stole all my stuff. I forgive you. I know someone loves you. I'm not going broke. I'm making deposits. Come on. Can I give you a minute to close your eyes? And don't go witch hunting. But if something comes to you, why don't you let it go? I mean, really let it go and forgive them. I've had to go on 3 trips now, hundreds and hundreds of miles, to forgive 3 people. I just got back from one of those trips, and I went on 2 others besides. No, I got 1 more to go now. And I'm tracking these people down. I'm not going to be cheated by the devil anymore. I'm not. Well, how do I keep from just blowing up in anger all the time? Well, first, pray in tongues quite a bit. But then to soak your spirit in love by worshiping Him and glorifying Him. I'm finding when I come before Him, I tell Him, look, I know you already love me. I know that, but I'm here to tell you how much I love you. I might not be too good at it, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So I start in. And pretty soon, even though I told Him, I know how much you love me, it comes over me anyway. And if there's a good thing to soak your spirit in, that's the love of God. You get that thing submerged a little bit, and this walk will become more automatic daily. Come on. How'd you ever get to know anybody without fellowshipping with them? So if the Holy Spirit brings something to you, why don't you just start this morning by turning them loose? Some of you may have to make a call to back it up. Make the call. I didn't mean that. I was going around the corner. Yes? Eso do brancales, okay. I got people who pray and they just don't turn loose of it. So after you take a minute to pray and worship Him a little bit and let Him bring some things to you, why don't we just turn that bunch of people loose in the service? Shall we? Sing a little bit. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're just taking answered prayer. Another step, Father. See, God will come along, take you by the hand, no matter what kind of problems you have. He'll walk out of them with you. If you pull your hand out of His, it won't listen. It'll just take longer. He won't take His hand off of yours. Come on now. So how about this? How about this? If you're one of them, the rest of you will be praying for you. How about you saying, Father, you know, I don't want this in my life anymore. So I got audience, somebody, I would know that. Maybe I'm still angry and hateful when I tried to bury him. And the past or something. But whatever it is. Whatever it is, you'll know. You'll know. So right now, if this is you, then everybody just pray this with me. You'll be, if it's not you, you'll be praying for them. If it's you, you'll be a for that is being prayed. Father God, I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to answer prayer. I want to know that you're there. Because I'm not stopping it. I know I shouldn't hold anything against anybody. With you behind me, I can withstand anything. You won't let me be hurt. So Father God, I want on the path. Put me on it now. I want to find everyone that I really need to forgive. And I want to forgive them. And right now, Father, in my heart, I'm forgiving the main one that I'm thinking of. And I'm going to let them know too. Not a religious, I'm better than you kind. But I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been acting that way. Because Jesus set me free. I shouldn't have been. He set me free. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So thank you for forgiving me. And I'm free. Hallelujah. Some of you might have to make a phone call or something. Get strong and do it. Hallelujah. But don't let him get in and stop what he's able to do for you. Hallelujah. I sure want him answering my prayers. So even if I get a dollar that's supposed to be from the gospel, I'm put those four quarters somewhere. Hallelujah. How many knows when somebody's starving or something and you feed them and things? How many know you can do that as unto God? You're supposed to. You're not supposed to let somebody starve. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. Okay, thank you. Interpretation. It's going to get to add more to the foundation because of the recent, more thorough understandings of it. His love. We know it never fails. Never fails. And it has no fear. If I'm not going to fail, what am I afraid of? Well, there's so many times that he's mentioned love. I can't wait to see how Jesus walked in. More and more and more. When he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Everybody there knew it was him, God. He cried like that. No matter what hell does and makes it look like. 876 things went wrong and 67th is scheduled for you. No matter what the devil makes it look like. Just always remember. Because God had to turn his back on him for a minute. He forsook him. As your substitute, though he never...
The devil.
No. He forsook him. He can't forsake you. You may not feel him. Hell may have stirred up a little cyclone around you. Rest assured, according to his word, he's there. So no matter what it feels like, you turn back to him. You start glorifying him in the middle of that mess. Because you have to know you have already won. He doesn't have to come and rescue. He's never left you. So he can't forsake you. So build your ladder out of it. Hallelujah, Jesus.